Hello and welcome to the Sales eXperience podcast. My name is Callum Richardson and today you'll be listening to Henry Clayton, who is an SDR at Refract, an Allego company. In this episode, we'll talk about all things sales and sales development. Henry talks about the importance of sticking to your calendar. He also talks about how a here and now attitude can improve enjoyment at work. I hope you enjoy.
High level. What's it been like? What's the experience been like as an SDR at Refract?
It's been amazing, really, because it's just so different to what I'm used to. So before, I was in a hybrid way of working, going into office, managing people. Mm-hmm. So the whole what I'm doing is just completely flipped on its head. So it's been a nice challenge. Like the first month, I'd admit, was quite difficult because I'm just trying to use my brain as a bit of a sponge and take in everything that everyone's teaching me. And obviously you've got some really, really great people that really know their stuff. So it's trying to speak to the likes of Stu, Rich, Mark, you know, from a high level perspective, but the, you know, the current SDR team, the likes of Jake and Lucy and John, who are really, really successful. So you're just trying to take little bits of nuggets of information from everyone and try and sort of condense it into what you're doing. So it's been, and I thought as well, like the working from home aspect, you know, I thought, oh, it could get really, really lonely. Like if I'm only going up to Newcastle sort of once a month, I thought going from a place where I'm going in every day and seeing 150, 200 people to now I'm sat in my bedroom just going, but it's the way we do things is so sort of easy and different. It's just there, like if we do a big sort of call-in session where we're cold calling people, we'll all hop on a Zoom before, and then if we have a difficult call or if we have success, take ourselves off mute, share successes or share ideas, and it feels like you're in an office with them, but you're not. So I think that the way that everyone has made me feel really like welcomed, basically, it's been a godsend, really. So it, like those immediate fears that I probably had in the first sort of week or two just sort of completely vanished after a while, and everyone was just so just wanting to help. It's all like one big team, and if you have a success, they want you to share it, they want you to have a song and dance about it, which I'm not used to. So it was quite weird, like you book your first meeting and then everyone's coming in on the Slack channel saying like, well done, like reacting to it. And it's just, it's such a nice feeling.
That's quality. I think it's funny. I've seen a bit of an interesting development in the industry where companies, after COVID hit, they were like, right, I'm going to embrace remote working. And then they do it for maybe a year. And then they're like, well, actually, there's so much benefit to be in person. But it sounds like Refract have really maybe mastered remote working and making sure that it's engaging in a way that maybe other companies haven't. Would you say there's a reason why? You've given a few things there, but is there anything else as to why it's working at Refract?
Obviously, like part and parcel of my job is to speak to sales leaders. So I'm speaking to CEOs, VPs, and they share a bit on the calls and like the conversations that you have with them. And sometimes it boils down to like an element of trust. They don't trust the reps that they've got within their team. And the element of trust and autonomy in your role at Refract is fantastic, because there's no, you decide the structure to your day. They don't decide it, you know, so it's, they have that real big element of trust behind you. And I think that's sort of reciprocated back, because when I used to be at Screwfix, you trust a member of your team and then they throw it back in your face about 2 weeks later and you just think, why did I bother? But it doesn't work like that. It's everyone trusts everyone, and it's just that like you're there to do a job. So it's, I think that's the way they've probably mastered it. And you know what I touched on of everyone sort of being together, there's not a need to bring people in like left, right and center. And yeah, I think from a geography point of view, if you're saying that if you're based in Newcastle and you have to come into the office 4 or 5 days a week, you're restricting the rest of the country and you're restricting a lot of top talent that you could potentially have. So I think, I think it's a smart move. I think getting people working from home is probably the best way forward, because you can look like that rather than like that.
Yeah, that's a huge point. I love that about top talent, because as I said, some other of my clients that I work with, they're really heavy on working in the office. And I mean, I agree in some ways why that's important, but I think, yeah, as we said, Refracts have really figured that out, and it's great that they've been able to get you, even though you're at the complete opposite end of the country. And so that is really good. So you touched on how there's a number of different members of your team that you've maybe absorbed information from almost everyone, it sounds like, in some ways. What would you say has been the best advice, or the best three bits of advice that you've received from any of these team members in your first 3 months?
I think sticking to your calendar is like a real big thing. If you're setting yourself goals and what you're going to do in the day, when you put things into your calendar, be specific about it. So if you've got an hour and you want to send 15 personalized emails, you send 15 personalized emails, and it gives you that, you tick off 10 and you think, oh, I've got 20 minutes to send 5. Don't take your foot off the gas, send that 5. And if you've got another 5-10 minutes left over in that space in your calendar, send a few more. So it's, you know, the quality of what you put out is really, really important rather than the quantity. So I think that's probably the biggest learning I've taken from people. When I think it's hard, because there's so much everyone's sort of said, but I think like the fear of cold calling, I didn't really think there was gonna, well, after years of taking escalated calls from the general public, I didn't really think that there was gonna be a huge amount of fear of cold calling, because they've said 10 times worse things to me over the phone than what I'll ever hear the CEO or VP of sales say to me. So I think when that first happened, when I was there, like, oh, don't know what this feeling is. And then spoke to a couple of the SDRs and they're like, yeah, it's nerves. It will go. You make that first call and then you'll just be on your way. And I think it's like getting that first thing out the way and then just proceeding with the rest of your day. I'd probably say those are the two key things for me, just to be organized, and just if you do have a fear, speak to someone about it, because then hopefully that fear will slowly disappear.
Yeah. Wow. That is interesting. And so do you make your calls at the beginning of the day, or is it all the way through the day? Is there a certain time that works for you?
It's varied, I think, because I try and sort of just mix it up. And it also depends who I'm sort of targeting. So I'm lucky in the sense that I can target EMEA and North America as well. So it's quite different to some of the other SDRs that can only target EMEA or can only target the US, for example. So for me, I'll do like the UK and EMEA in the morning, and then I'll look to do America in the afternoon. So that's how I tend to sort of split it up. But sometimes I just, you know, if I've got lots of things that I want to do from email, voice notes, I've just signed up to this company that have given me the option to send GIFs. So it's a good way. Yeah. So I spent the last, well, obviously I had a week off last week, but I spent last week sort of playing around and just creating some GIFs, which is, it's quite good just to have the scope to be able to do sort of whatever you really want in order to get a prospect's attention. So it's just quite an indifferent way, really. So you've just got to find sort of what works for you and then just go from there. It's just it's a bit of a scattergun approach at the minute, just because I'm still sort of finding my feet. But I'm going to spend some time with Mark, hopefully, in the next few weeks and figure out stats of when I've booked meetings, what time have I booked them, so on and so forth, and what I should look to structure my day like going forward. Because it is, at the minute, slightly scattergun in the sense of, on a sort of weekend is when I do my calendar. So then I'll do it for the whole week and I'll go, right, I think, you know, I try to tend to avoid Monday mornings for calling people, just rule of thumb, because we're all in meetings Monday morning. So I expect other people are as well. So, you know, so I try and leave Monday morning free, try and leave Friday afternoon free, because I know those two times don't necessarily work. But then, yeah, it's just sort of want to get in at least one session a day, and then just fill in the blanks, basically.
When you say one session, what do you mean by that? As in one cold calling session?
Yeah, so we use Yeah, we use Connect and Sell. So
yeah,
it's a really, really good tool. So we use that to do the majority of our calls. Obviously, we can use, Outreach to do a variety of different calls. So that's from like inbound leads and so on and so forth. But yeah, we tend to heavily sort of try and use Connect and Sell as much to our advantage as possible, really. So
brilliant. So I know Mark's going to do that session with you to figure out what's the best approach to structuring your day. But do you have a preference for what form of outreach works for you or you prefer doing?
I thought when I started this role, it was going to be phones. Like just after spending 8 years being in a call center, I just thought it was going to be phones. But I was lucky enough to be quite successful. Well, not quite successful, but quite good at written word. So emails and LinkedIn and stuff like that. There's just so many different ways you can prospect people. It's trying to find out what suits you. And I'd say in the back of my mind that I'm a bit of jack of all trades is the what I put it down at the minute. And I haven't really necessarily found a niche yet. So I'd say like it's just trying to do as much of different things as possible until I can sort of find out which one works best for me. But from a meeting perspective, I'd probably say emails, like email outreach is probably the one that's been most successful, which I found really weird.
That is interesting. And I saw on some of your posts on LinkedIn that you've been doing poems on your emails. Is that always the approach or do you have a varied email approach?
Yeah, it depends on sort of, so I'd look through like Sales Now, for example, to try and find something that I can really sort of personalize it with. So personalization is the key thing above anything else. So as long as you're personalizing your outreach, then it should get opened, it should get read, may not get responded to, but at least you know, you obviously you can see from things like outreach how many times it's been opened and stuff like that, and wrapping your head around why a prospect will open your email 20 times because it's a good personalized email and then not respond to you. That was probably the bit, that was probably the biggest challenge I've had so far, because I'm just going, why are you so interested and not saying anything back to me? You're just bashing your head against a brick wall going, what's going to make you respond if you've opened this 20 times?
Wow, that is interesting. And why do you think personalization is so powerful in your experience?
I used to get loads of just sales emails, and I still do from a like a personal level for things that I've signed up for. And I don't really tend to read them because they're all following the same format. And I'm not a CEO and I'm not a VP and I'm not in a position where I'm a decision maker and holding a lot of weight on what a business can do. So I can only imagine what these guys are sort of receiving on a daily basis. They must be getting 50 emails a day of just generic run of the mill. This is me. This is what I've done. This is what our product does. And that doesn't necessarily, that gives them no incentive to respond. So I think that's why personalization is sort of really key on your outreach, just because it's just, they're going to listen to you and they're going to take a bit of interest in you. And that's what you really want. As soon as they take a bit of interest in you, then you know you've potentially, well, you're either going to hopefully get a yes or a no. Either one of the two is good. So no's aren't bad because you know exactly where they stand. It's just that like every prospect replied and said no, or this is the reason not, or yes, I'm interested, then life would be easy as an SDR, but it's not.
And I've been thinking about that in general across the board. And do you think that's just because of time? Like everyone is so time constrained, and it means that it's difficult for them to message everyone to tell them no or tell them why and so on.
I think time is a factor, but I don't think it's the biggest one. I've had quite a few people try and like test me. That's what I feel like in my head, because I'm there like you're almost playing a game to say, I want you to reach out again and I want you to reach out again. And I'm going to say yes, or I'm going to give you an answer, but just not yet. Because if you think about it, they all have a team of reps or SDRs or whatever, and they know how they do their outreach. And the way they do it might be very similar to you. So it's almost like they're sort of playing a game. I think that's the that's one of the ways I can sort of describe it. But I think, you know, because you're receiving so many emails and, you know, they must be receiving so many phone calls as well. It must be quite crazy to just have your phone just ringing off the hook and emails just flooding through your inbox. And I think if I was in their position, would I reply to everyone? Probably not. You know, because you've got your own stuff to do and you can't look into every single individual bit of tech and information that you get sent, because then you're just spending your day not really accomplishing anything. You know, they have a, you know, they must be in and out of loads of different meetings each and every day that are really important, and what you're saying is not necessarily important to them unless you make it important to them.
Really interesting. I'm loving it. And so I have a couple of questions about I guess stories or experiences that you might have, and I know we've touched on the fact that you've used poems or certain kinds of outreach. Is there any interesting story that you've had since you started that kind of stands out to you as very memorable, whether good or bad or whatever? Does something stand out from this experience?
Yeah, definitely. There's a there was a guy that I prospected in my first month at Refract. I sent him a poem, and it was probably like in my early I look back now of what I sent in January and early February, and I think, why would I even send that? But I sent him this poem, and he responded back with a poem himself. So I was there thinking, he said, now's not the right time. So I wanted to delve into a bit more about that. So I was constructing a poem for him, and then I have a notification pop up on LinkedIn to say, so-and-so's tagged you in a post. And they're like, oh. So he's put this poem, mine and his, out on LinkedIn for everyone to see. And it gained a ridiculous amount of traction, which was beneficial to me because, you know, I was so new to LinkedIn at the time. I had about 150 connections. So I had connections flooding in left, right and center, which was really, really good. And it was funny because he was replying to a lot of the comments. And I shared it on mine as well. And I'd already sent him a poem back at this point, just to basically try and find out a bit more and see if I can eventually book a meeting with him. And one of the people commented saying, is there another poem from Henry Clayton in your inbox? And tagged me in it as well. And he goes, yes, I have one sat right here. But the problem is he didn't reply to it. So typical of sort of what we're on about. So he's seen it, he's read it, and he goes, yeah, I've seen it, it's in my inbox. And I'm there going, why are you not replying to it then? So I went away, just put it on sort of ice for a fair few days and sort of left it about a week. Had a conversation with sort of a couple of the SDRs and Mark, and just basically said sort of, what would be your best advice really to get this back on track? Because I've had a bit of a brief conversation with him on LinkedIn, just on private message. He ended up just not replying to that as well. So I was there like, how can I really get him back on board? Because I think this definitely could be a meeting because he's shown enough interest. And Mark suggested to send him an Allego video. So I constructed an Allego video, basically said to him, and I think it was at the time where I hadn't booked a meeting yet. And I think it was like second or third week. And I said, Mark said, really important tagline at the end for you to say would be, say it with a massive smile on your face and say, would it be crazy to suggest that you would be my first meeting? And the guy come back, booked a meeting. And I was there like, there is method to the madness here. Like, you know, because I would have just sent him a video of, you know, I wouldn't really know what I was going to say. But just having that sort of coaching from Mark just made me made me see videos in just a completely different light. It's just a different form of outreach and really, really personalized because it's just you. So, yeah, that was probably the most interesting story I had. So yeah, it was definitely a roller coaster for me.
Wow. Yeah, I love that. And it touches on poem, email, LinkedIn messaging, and then video as well. It's almost all forms of outreach, maybe minus the phone, but
yeah.
I think that's a great story. Thanks for sharing that one. I guess moving on to your own personal development and going forwards, what are you currently working on? We've touched on a few things already, but what currently are you working on now? Because you've maybe got a basis of all of these different avenues, the jack of all trades. What's the next step for your own personal development?
I think I just want to be as sort of successful as I possibly can be. Like I'm still learning so much each and every day. Like every day for me is a school day at the minute. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's really quite difficult to look to the future. I just want to master what I'm doing, get to the point where I'm not reaching out to my fellow SDR saying, how would you handle this objection? Or how would you handle this? Or how would you handle that? I want to be in a position in sort of 3 to 6 months where there's a new SDR in the team and they message me and go, how do you handle this? And I go, boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. And sort of that's probably, from a personal development point of view, that's the sort of position I want to be in. Just because, yeah, there's so much to learn and it's just, I'm so sort of new into the journey. Mm-hmm. Just quite excited just to learn more and more each day.
That's brilliant. And I really like that. And I think the culture at Refract lends itself to that, in that there's so much to learn and it's all about learning and developing before anything else. Focus on that and everything else will take care of itself. That being said, many people in SDR roles, they have a vision of where they want to be. Do you have a vision of what the future holds for you in the future? Do you want to go down an AE route? Do you want to be a manager? What's it look like for you?
I honestly don't know. Like, the one thing that I had, and I've had it in my back of my mind for about 4 or 5 years now, my dad retired at 50. Well, mm-hmm. So he retired 12 years ago. He retired at 50. And sort of when I started work and started sort of progressing, that was my one goal. Like, if mm-hmm. I can be in a position where I retire at 50 and I can live a really like comfortable life, mm-hmm. That's what I want my future to be. I've taken a lot of sort of aspirations from him from a work perspective. And mm-hmm. I think I'd be quite silly and sort of naive and to try and not follow in his footsteps. So I think really, yeah, I don't know what the future holds. I'm really open to what the future would be, whether it would be a AE manager, whatever. I think, you know, taking a break from management for a while is good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, soon as I left my previous role, it's like a huge weight lifted off my shoulders, because it's just, you don't have people that are relying on you. And I'm really enjoying not having that. And it's such a weird feeling when it just disappears and you just realize like you're here for yourself at the minute. And you've got to figure out how good a version of yourself you can be and not have to worry about how good a version you can be and 15 other people. So I think, yeah, I don't really know what it holds, but I'm quite excited by that in a weird way.
Yeah. No, that's really interesting. And I like it. I think sometimes we can get ahead of ourselves and focus so much on where we want to be. And it means that we actually miss the journey. We don't enjoy the journey and we don't actually have as much success in the journey because we're so focused on other
avenues. You lose sight of what you're actually trying to do in the here and now, rather than, you know, you're focused on what you're trying to do in a year's time. I think, you know, we have AE coaching sessions every week. So SDRs are all invited along to that. And to see the sort of questions the AEs ask, what they actually have to do in their role, I know full well that I'd be at least a year, 18 months off that if that was my, you know, what I wanted to do. Because they're so skilled and so clever with what they do, mm-hmm. because they've had, you know, a few more years practice and they've taken a lot of the advice that's been given. And I think because I'm so new into this role, I think don't run before I can walk.
Yeah, no, it's a great mantra to follow. I like it. Great. Well, I'm conscious that we've already come to the end of our 30 minutes. Yeah, it was rapid. I feel like there's a few other things that I wanted to get to, but I really appreciate you coming on. If you were to give one bit of advice to someone who's maybe considering coming into the tech sales sector industry, what would it be?
Find the right business to work for. You know, I went through loads of different interviews, and I weirdly enough, I went back through every interview that I had with everyone before I found Refract, and I put them all into a sequence and tried to prospect those people.
Wow.
Because I thought, if I'm applying for an SDR role, I thought, let's see what it's about. And now with all the tools that I've got, I can sort of delve into a bit more of what the company is about and stuff like that. And I've spoken to a few of them. They talk about, you talk to them about coaching and stuff like that, and things like that don't happen. And I think, get yourself in a place where you're going to learn, you're going to grow, you're receptive to feedback, and you just want to learn. And I think that would probably be my best advice, is just find the right fit. Don't jump in with 2 feet at the first person that offers you a job. Think about, like, culture and stuff is so important to me. And I think the coaching aspect, I think, is amazing at Refract. And I think that's the one thing that has really, really drawn me to it, and will keep me here hopefully for a long time, as long as Mark will let me. but yeah, I think just find the right place to work. You know, I think that's such a culture fit is quite a hot topic at the minute. I see loads of posts on LinkedIn about culture and what good culture looks like and what their business does, and you hear some absolute horror stories. So do your research, find the right one for you to spend the next sort of 5 years at. I think, you know, don't look short term, look long term.
Thank you very much for listening to the Sales eExperience podcast. As you can tell, Henry is a legend in the making, and he's laid down some absolute pearls of wisdom there. If you've enjoyed today's episode, why not follow us for more Sales eExperiences?